Stripe podcast. Scotty, what's up?
I'm out. I'm free
for
a little bit.
Scotty is now no longer a college sophomore.
Oh,
I don't know
gotta,
why I phrased
gotta
it like that.
Home for the next 3 episodes, and then I won't be home again.
And then he'll be right by me. But listen, let's talk about the Yankees. Can we say they remembered how to play baseball when it was against the Oakland A's?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
feel like 11-2 feels like baseball.
Exactly. Aaron Judge coming back, huge. But, you know, I saw something the other day, and my thoughts, I apologize, all over the place. That it felt like, sorry, they just showed Jake Bowers on TV, and in the reflection, I thought it was Aaron Hicks, and I was really fucking nervous. Is that I know that Aaron Judge is back, and right, he is like the heartbeat of the team. I feel like there's two guys who, well, one a little bit more explosively recently than the other, is that Anthony Rizzo has really been a real steadfast for the Yankees. I think he's hitting like 320 or 230. I might be dyslexic.
He's hitting 302 this season.
302. You know, like.
But he has 6 home runs.
6 home runs, right?
RBIs. 6 home runs, 17 RBIs.
Which is exactly what we, you know, I think we've always dreamed about. Not that Rizzo's ever had a bad showing as a Yankee, but I think that that was, he's a really like, I don't know, he's just a rock on the team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those people, you know, we talked about last week that are the staple players in the lineup that, you know, we constantly look at to get results. And somebody on the team who, if they're not producing and it feels like the whole team isn't producing. So it's good when he does what, you know, he can do and he's kind of paid to do. And not saying that, like, that makes it sound like he hasn't been doing that. He has been doing it.
He's just been doing it alone.
Yeah.
So
there are times when he doesn't, just has a bad week or something like that, it just feels like everything comes down.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about it last week, is that in that hitting is contagious. And I really do feel like we felt that against the A's. Anthony Volpe hitting his first Grand Slam. And like, did you see the video of it compared to Jeter's first Grand Slam?
No.
They're like, I mean, like, obviously Jeter's was, I believe, an old Yankee Stadium. But like, it looked like it was like within the same like 5-foot like circumference of each other. It was super wild. But obviously great offensive explosion. I don't think it's possible to talk about the offense without talking about Harrison freaking Bader.
Before we get there.
Oh, Scotty said I've got other things.
Well, no, just that Volpe Grand Slam made him the youngest player for the Yankees to hit the youngest player to hit a Grand Slam in either Yankee stadiums. Which, like, it kind of sounds a little extensive, but it really is just, you know, he's the youngest guy to hit a Grand Slam in Yankee Stadium. They just had to specify that there had been both.
Yeah, they're like, let's just make sure. Way. Which, I mean, honestly makes it more impressive because that spans longer.
More games,
But yeah, Harrison freaking Bader. I don't have his most up. Let me see where my screenshot is from before I'm tossing shit out. Okay, as of Wednesday, Harrison Bader is 12 for 26, which is a 462 average, with 5 extra base hits, including 3 home runs and 11 RBIs in 8 games since returning from the IL. What? And
he's doing a job.
You know, I remember seeing people that were like, yeah, Bader coming back is cool and all, but like our issue is offense right now and that blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. Say it again for the people in the back. I saw someone who phrased it perfectly. And, you know, you have some, maybe, obviously it's still, technically it's still kind of early in Bader's Yankee career because he started late last year, was delayed this year. But the way that they put it was that, and it was the best way to like recently describe like the Sonny Gray effect, in that you have some guys come to the Yankees and they become Joey Gallo, and you have some guys come to the Yankees and they become Harrison Bader.
Yeah.
Because
it's just an effect.
He was not, I mean, when we got him, right? First of all, it was like a jump scare that we got him at all. That was with the Jordan Montgomery trade. And getting him, we were like, oh, we're getting a really, really great defensive center fielder. Nobody was even worried about his offense. His offense, the last, what did I say? It's been 8 games. Off the freaking charts of, like, not even just in terms of the Yankees, which is true, but also in terms of Bader's entire baseball career.
Yeah. I mean, right now he came back in however many games he's played, 429 average, 3 home runs already. I mean, there's nothing more that you could have asked. We have been talking about, and everybody's been talking about, you know, we didn't have our number one lineup out there. And, you know, you look at the injured list, you look at Bader, you're like, you know, we really need people like Judge and Bader, and they're Judge and Stanton and Bader back. Bader's come back. It was like, I'm that motherfucker. I'm that guy.
I've been that bitch, still that bitch, will forever be that bitch. Because if you think about it, right, remember him last year, right? So he comes to us late because of plantar fasciitis or whatever the heck was wrong with his foot. And then he joins us in the playoffs, and he had how many home runs in the playoffs? Like 5?
Yeah.
In like a 2-week span? 3-week yeah. span? It's... And the energy that he brings, like, to the dugout, to the field, clips of, like, him and Tommy Canley interacting is just electric. It's really, really... Sorry, Jake Bowers is up, and I don't think I've actually seen him hit the ball yet. I know that he has hit the ball. I've just never seen him in an at-bat yet. He's really fucking tall.
I've never noticed notables about him. I've watched one game with him playing, and that was when he got hurt.
The one that he launched himself into the wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I saw. I had a very good first impression, but I never got to see him play beyond one play.
He has 2 home runs, and the impressive thing was the one. Yeah, not yesterday. 2 days ago or whatever. Was you just got a single? Was he hit it to like left center field as a lefty? Hit it to like probably the deepest part of Yankee Stadium. So if he can get his bat going, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a surprising spark, all around. Like, you know, I gotta give props to that, showing up, especially because, you know, Aaron Hicks.
Aaron, what is it? A hip tightness? He came okay, but he did. He had like 2 or 3 games there that he was actually actively getting on base. He had a home run.
Against the A's.
No, he hit a double against the Rays.
Okay, yeah, he hit a double against the Rays, but then he hit a home run when we were already up 5 against the A's.
Not to now talk down. He did fuck up against the Rays in the extra innings and run on a slow. He's on third base in the 10th inning, runs on a slow roller back to the pitcher. Gets in a rundown. Pitcher drops the ball, trying to tag him. Hicks just assumes he's tagged out and just sits on the ground. You know, you try so hard to almost give the guy the benefit of the doubt, and then he just does shit like that. And the tweet that you sent me, all of the replies were so. It was the Yankees announced that Aaron Hicks was removed from the game with a tight hip, I believe. And all of the replies were like, let that bitch be tight. Stay tight. Don't
no, most of
come
it,
back.
No, I saw the good amount that I saw, at least when I sent it to you, it was just like, hey, make sure he's safe. Put him on the 60-day. Really got to make sure it's nothing worse. Put him on the 60-day. Put him on the 50. He's got to go on the IL. You know, just
he's
really can't, really got to make sure that he's healthy when he comes back.
And speaking of the ILs, sorry, it was time to be real, Scotty.
Oh, I know. I could see.
Speaking of the ILs, Carlos Rodon, thought that I'd just bring it up while we're here, has, quote, chronic back issues. Same here, pal. Like, get over it. It's he's receiving a cortisone shot. They won't put a timeline on his injury recovery because they asked if a July return was realistic, and they won't put a timeline on it, which to me sounds like July is not realistic.
Yeah, probably not.
Which is fucking frustrating. Jonathan Eliasigo was also transferred to the 60-day, but he had a bone spur removed. I believe we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
It's a little
tough to come back from quickly.
Yeah, so they brought Ryan Weber onto a major league contract, and also Devi freaking Garcia was recalled yesterday. He pitched at Yankee Stadium for the first time yesterday. I didn't realize that he only made, like, away game appearances.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
So, you know, the once hopeful and, like, thought to be future of our rotation is back on the active roster. Severino.
No, he's not.
Oh, they sent him back down?
They sent him right back down after the game.
But he got a strikeout.
Honestly, though, what?
He got at least one strikeout.
No, he didn't. He didn't pitch bad at all. He went three innings to close the game. Three innings, two hits, one earned run off of a home run, one walk, two Ks.
And
he had a good outing.
And the issues, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but when things started to change, he lost velo and was walking a shit ton of people, right?
I can't say I remember.
I think that's what it. I think he was
a
just
long time
walking
ago.
People.
Well, he also had a lot of
in
it was
AAA,
a lot of confidence issues.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't fuck up at the major league level. He just like fell apart in Scranton. Luis Severino also began a rehab assignment. I think he went 3 1/3. Pretty solid outing. So hopefully that means that we're seeing him back soon. You know, we just slowly start to piece together a team that can hopefully get back into the American League. We're currently playing the Rays. Currently nothing against the Rays. I think if we can steal 2 games, I'd love to take 2 games from the Rays right now. Do you think that that's realistic?
I think so, because we have the right setup. We have Herman and then Cole. Herman's been on a hot streak lately.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cole has been fucking Garrett Cole.
Cole's Garrett.
Sadly, he had a poor outing. His last outing was pretty poor. Actually, like, was really poor.
He gave up his first 2 home runs, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even get to fucking talk about that. Who the hell? I try not to get mad at Garrett Cole, but also I've talked about it in the past that if you can get mad at the guys that you don't pay a lot, you can get exponentially more mad at the guys that you do pay a lot. But 6-run cushion. But I also, right, he gave up one home. He gave up a solo shot to Jose Siri and then a 3-run home run, correct?
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how to not have the same conversation that we had last week of, do you think that it was he should have been pulled before the 3-run home run, or was it he fucked up?
Look, my thing is, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think that's the simplest way to put it.
Those were the first 2 home runs he gave up all year.
Yeah.
And that was always his issue.
Yeah. That has been his thing. I mean, even every other number was relatively similar to what he normally does. 8 hits, which is the most he's given up all year, but he gave up 6 to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
2 walks. He's given up 3 to Cleveland and then 2 to Toronto. Like, he didn't go exponential in any of his numbers, of course, except earned runs, which he gave up 5, and then the 2 home runs. But, like, it's going to happen. And, I mean, there are going to be teams that just kind of hop on him. And
also, if it's going to be any fucking team, it's going to be the 29-win Rays.
But also, at the same time, it's something that you kind of look at a little worried, but nothing to overthink about, of it's being a division rival. So it's a team that does see Garrett Cole. You know, I've seen Garrett Cole now the last 3 years so much that, like, okay, yeah, they're kind of hopping on him now. You can kind of see that as a good thing of, like, it takes a good, very hot squad and a team to see this guy a lot of times to start hopping on him.
Yeah. And also,
and so
Cole just might not have had his best stuff.
No, he might not have his best stuff. His best stuff. It was what at the Trop? Yeah, it was at the Trop.
Yeah, it was at the Trop.
So yeah, all right, doesn't count at the Trop. but I mean, he gets
stats,
his, he gets
stats
his...
actually don't like stats from the Trop don't get applied. They just are taken out.
I mean, we'll see what it really means tomorrow. He pitches tomorrow against the Rays at home this time. So, you know, gets his maybe a revenge game. Maybe it's the opposite. We'll see.
We shall see. But, you know, just looking at the AL East as a whole, I've been having a lot of conversations with my friends about it because they love to, as I've said, my friends are mostly Red Sox fans. I have one friend who's a Dodger fan. They love to bring up the current standings of the American League East. And I know that we also talk about it a lot, but I'm pretty sure as of right now, if you put every single American League East team into different divisions, they would be in first place.
Yeah.
Maybe second in one, but
yeah. And it's like, I think there was a thing and it was like when the Yankees were playing the A's that they were the only two teams that were behind by double digit games, but the Yankees still are like just under 500.
Yeah. That's the crazy thing is that I think it can get so easy to get sucked into this tunnel of like, oh my God, the Yankees are playing very bad. Which, listen, last week we were not playing good baseball. We lost what, 15-3 to the Rangers? That's not good baseball. But it's so easy to get stuck in that tunnel vision of comparing ourselves to the rest of the American League East. Obviously makes sense. Those are the people that we need to beat. But also it's May. So you have to teams are going to get hot and cold, right? So right now it just feels like the entire American League East is hot.
Yes, and it is. So yeah, no, I was looking at it now. So our 21-17 record right now would put us tied for first in the AL Central. Would put us in second with the Twins.
Thank you.
Would put us in second in the AL West behind the Rangers and above the Angels. Would put us in second in the NL East behind the Braves. Would put us tied for first in the NL Central with the Pirates. And would put us in second in the NL West under the Dodgers.
Right. Like anywhere else, if playoffs started today, we are a wild card team.
Yeah. And another thing, I mean, just look at, if you look at the differences, our run differential, all of the AL East has a positive run differential.
Mm-hmm.
The only other division with the anywhere close is the AL West with four of their five teams. But the fifth is goddamn Oakland Athletics, who have a negative 142 run differential. That is impressive.
that's just shocking. It's a little fun. It's a lot funny, not a little funny. And I'm not, obviously I'm not like, oh, it's just because we're in a tough division. That's why we're where we're at. But, and I think that I had to take the step back this week and realize we're still playing good baseball, and we have so much baseball ahead of us.
Yeah,
and. It really is that just everyone in, right? If you're listing hot teams right now, okay, maybe the Yankees don't make that list right off the top of your head, but I can tell you that the Orioles make that. The Rays make it. The Blue Jays maybe. Then outside
the Blue Jays Blue Jays are up and down too much.
Yeah,
I think, to
outside the AL East, the only ones that I'm thinking of are probably the Pirates. Probably the Braves.
Even that, you say that the Pirates are hot. But the Pirates have the same record as the Yankees.
Exactly.
So how hot are they if they have the same record? It's just because your perspective of what your expectations are being, you know, improved on. And so, like, I mean, I get that. A team that doesn't have, you know, the that you expect from, if they're, you know, going better than what you expect from them, then you'll say that they're hot. But I guess that really kind of puts into perspective the expectations that the Yankees have. That they can play the exact same game, and they'll still just be seen as playing bad.
Got it. Me and you, right fucking here, right fucking here. That's exactly what I was trying to get to. Is that right? The expectations for every other team, right? The expectations for the Rangers, them being in first place, is blowing everybody out of the water. The expectation for the Angels to be in second place right now is shocking and wild, right? The only team I think that's in first place that people aren't like, oh, what, is like the Braves. And whoever's winning the NL West right now. I don't know. It's the Dodgers, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Dodgers.
Like, those are the only two that people are like, yeah, makes sense. But
beyond that, I mean, you look almost any other division, I mean, has a lot of shockers.
Yeah.
I mean, you, of course, we said the AL West.
Place.
The AL West, you have the Rangers and the Angels, two teams that going into the year didn't expect.
They are a laughing stock.
The Mariners are in fourth. The Mets are in fourth. The Cardinals are in last place. The Cardinals have one of the worst records in baseball right now.
Yeah, the Cardinals are playing terrible.
They have the third worst record, and it's not because of injury.
No, they're just not playing good baseball.
And, like, the Diamondbacks are in second in the NL West.
The Mets don't even know who's starting in their series this weekend against the Washington Nationals. Came out today. The Nationals have all of their starters picked out. Mets are all TBA, TBA, TBA.
Is it Max Scherzer?
Max Scherzer is a maybe for Saturday.
Yeah, because he skipped start because of back spasm. I've gotten two starts from that man. 11 points in the last month.
Was one of those the ones that he got caught cheating?
Yes. He got 10 points that day. He got 10 points that day, suspended, came back for one game, gave me 1 point, and then he's hurt again.
You know,
and he's day to day. He can't even get put on the 15 day. Sit the man down. Get the man back.
I don't have anything else Yankee related. Scotty, do you?
Let's take a look. I honestly haven't.
I have one that's that's like Yankee adjacent, but it does bring us away from the Yankees. It's just a
let me look.
For anybody curious, Anthony Volpe is currently up against the Tampa Bay Rays. Cool guy.
See, this is I completely unprepared. Normally I look through everything and I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do. Didn't do that today. So we started talking and I got locked in real early.
Volpe just struck out against the Tampa Bay Rays.
No, I actually do not have.
All right, well, my bridge is Gary fucking Sanchez.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez has signed a minor league deal with the New York Mets. Which I guess we were also just talking about the Mets too. First of all, the pictures that came out, he's in Syracuse with them now. So like he's wearing Syracuse Mets gears. He's not like on like their double A's, the Rumble Ponies, but their triple A is the Syracuse Mets. He is in the purple, not the purple, the blue and orange. And there were pictures of him yesterday and it looked funky and weird, bro. Funky and weird. I don't know who catches for the Mets.
Alvarez and Nito. Francisco Alvarez was their big prospect.
Oh, yeah.
Who's been playing for them. And then Tomas
Nito. I do find
and
it.
Nito, I mean, just went on the IL.
IL, so maybe the timing works out for him. But just a weird thing to see. What? You said,
No, it was because I tried to go to their roster and then ESPN picked me back to the homepage. Their number one, their catchers on their roster are Francisco Alvarez and Michael Perez. Alvarez is having an okay year, but I mean he's young. He's 21 years old. He's batting .246 for them. So I mean that's their player of the future.
Just interesting to see. I mean, we talked about it when he was released by the Giants, which I think was 2 weeks ago now, in that it's shocking the decline that he had, but I do really think that a team is going to need it.
Yeah. I think he'll always be that guy that's floating around and somebody will, you know, everybody, we've spoken about it plenty of times. We are not in a league where catchers are.
There's not a surplus of great catchers.
Yeah. And so there'll always be teams that'll need him as a backup or in some way, or will always, at least always pick him up.
Yeah. I know this is probably going to screw up your planning, but I only have four things and I can relate them.
Go ahead.
In terms of the New York Mets, they will be playing in the London series in 2024 against the Philadelphia Phillies.
That's going to be interesting. That's going to be good.
That should be very good. 2024, both of those teams should be very, very good. Because the next one I have is also that the Dodgers and the Padres are going to be most likely be playing in South Korea in 2024. I like the exhibition games, and I like them. And the Mexico one was fun, but it's
the elevation.
Except the elevation, yeah. But I felt like, was the London fence super short? I'm trying to remember.
The London field was super short. It was a very, very short field.
So also produced a lot of home runs. Hopefully South Korea, since they are
an actual baseball.
Like an actual baseball hub, even though I guess Mexico also is, should have like a legitimate like normal field. So we just get like normal, because like the exhibition game, like that's fun, that's cool, but like obviously that's gonna affect stats, it affects standings. Like if you're gonna do it in a place that the ball is going to change that much, what?
You said it was Dodgers Padres
in South Korea.
Now, granted, this whatever. Is this going to be 2024?
That is, yeah. It's, right now, it's just listed as likely. It's not confirmed. But
I'm more trying to think of, like, okay, you have Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah, he's from South Korea.
Yeah, that's what I was trying. I was trying to find, like, the, like, people who would have, because that's kind of the whole thing is, like, you know, they go to England, and that's, or like the London series is to connect kind of baseball to like the English people to baseball. So that's doing one thing. The Mexico series, I think, is kind of connecting a lot of the players back to Mexico, or like Mexico to the players and things like that, more direct. I was trying to think of how the South Korea, because like the South Korea, they go to South Korea and they're like, okay, cool. Like I have South Korean baseball here to watch. I don't need to go and watch MLB.
We have baseball at home.
Yeah, like it's not like I was trying to see a connection there.
The Phillies Mets matchup is interesting to me because the first London series was Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah.
Tale as old as time, greatest sports rivalry in all of sports. You know, it makes sense. It's known across the world. I believe the second one is supposed to be Cubs Cardinals. Scotty, when you come back, you can confirm or deny that for me. I feel like I've seen that somewhere.
Yes.
Is that this year?
Sure it was.
Or did that happen already?
I don't know. I'm trying. I think it's this year. I don't think it's happened yet.
I don't think it's happened yet because I feel like we haven't gone back to London since Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna look it up. Actually, I'm pretty sure it hasn't gone back. Since Yankees 2023 MLB London.
Yes, Cubs Cardinals will take rivalry to London in 23. Yeah. You know that one. The thing is, I guess what I'm saying is it's hard to match the Yankees. Like, being a Yankee fan is hard because it's like, oh, if I'm listing, right, if I'm trying to do, like, exhibition games or I'm getting people to watch, I'm doing Yankees-Red Sox. If we're doing Field of Dreams, Yankees-White Sox was fire. If I'm trying to still draw teams, Yankees-Dodgers probably has, bandwidth-wise, the most fans across the world.
Yeah, I think exactly that is like you kind of started it way too high with
Red Sox. Yeah, you started so high.
You started with the rivalry that
of all
I
sports.
Think that no matter where you are, you'd understand, like, if you at all have looked at baseball, you'd understand that rivalry there. And also, I think it's funny that they went to Yankees and brought it to London. I think that's hilarious.
but American, like, stab.
It's also the two closest teams to London. And so it's their closest thing there. And honestly, even as somebody who, you know, has followed baseball their entire life, it took me until probably 4 years ago to understand the rivalry between St. Louis and Chicago.
I still don't really know it. Now I know it as Wilson Contreras, but I know that that's not where it started from.
Yeah, but like it's just not, it's not as valuable of a rivalry.
Sorry, can you give me, if you can, a brief history?
It's more of just like a history thing. It's kind of just like another one of those long time matchups.
Just division rivals?
Yeah.
There was no like Great Bambino event.
No.
The Wilson Contreras actually is that event.
Yeah, I mean you look at it.
We're going through right now.
quote, the Cubs have the regular season series 1,260 to 1,211 and 19 ties.
First of all, how the fuck do we... Oh, series ties. Or 19 have the regular games season.
No, I think they have 19 ties, probably. This probably goes way back.
I'm not even going to...
First meeting was April 12th, 1892.
Like, that's sick. It's just like...
This goes all the way back to when they were the Colts and the Browns.
You're only going to know that if you're like a baseball historian, which is why I'm surprised we're not seeing the... And I know, like you said, time-wise, getting the Dodgers there would probably be hard, but the Dodgers just draw so many fans, both because of how good they are and because they're LA-based. Even, God forbid, and I know I keep going back to the Yankees, but Yankees-Astros.
Yeah, I don't think you really need to... You need one sentence to understand that rivalry about.
Yeah, that's all you need. So, I mean, I think it's exciting because I think that the London one is the one that feels the most like they are actively trying to grow the game.
Yeah.
Which, as they keep on saying, that's their goal. I have one other random thing, but I don't know how to bring it up. So I'm going to hand the reins over to you to see if you can tie to any of the international games or the Phillies, Mets.
Okay, so we have Phillies, Dodgers, and we have, sorry, Phillies, Mets, and Dodgers, Padres.
Dodgers.
Let's start off with continuing with the Mets. We mentioned them, that's our lead into this, so we're going to lead with it out as well. Justin Verlander has officially earned a win against all 30 teams, honestly, in the most impressive way possible. Have you seen this, Lex?
No, I have not.
Guess what
team
that final...
I mean, this is in the nicest way. I actively avoid Justin Verlander news because 99% of the time it comes from fucking Ben Verlander and I don't want to hear it.
Okay, so let's start off with us running through the teams that Justin Verlander's had his amazing career with. The Tigers, the Astros, and now the Mets. Guess who that 30th team was? That last team that he had to get a win against.
Was it the Tigers?
It was the Reds.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like a nice, cute, full circle moment. Like, he got his first win and his, like, final win against all 30 teams against four and against the Tigers. The fucking Reds. Justin Verlander. Has he just, like, not pitched against them a lot?
I think he has. Apparently, he has only three starts against the team.
Okay. And I guess if three were also him as a Detroit Tiger, that doesn't exactly set you up for success.
Yeah. But I just think that's just a really funny situation of any team. I was going to expect the Tigers or the Astros or something like that. Astros would have made sense too.
Yeah. Freaking Verlander.
Yeah. Well, congrats, I guess.
Cool. You're still not currently pitching, I don't think.
I'll continue over to another pitcher.
Somebody is on my back deck blasting Dynamite by Tayo Cruz right now.
Yeah, I don't know why you're complaining.
It's wildly distracting. I just want to say.
So to stick with technically not the East.
I have something about the NL East if you want to stick in it.
Okay, well, we're going to stick with pitchers, though. The pitchers in the NL, I'll clarify it that way then. Mitch Keller had another shutout, which is the fourth or fifth shutout we've seen all year.
I think so. I can't work this quickly. Oh, really? Really?
This is the first complete game in 100... Or, sorry. It has been 370 games for the Pittsburgh Pirates since their last complete game. Mitch Keller, he showed off. Granted, it was against the Rockies.
Those little Buccaneers are just chugging along.
But yeah, they keep going. They keep moving along. They keep finding their things. I want to continue with the pitcher's route.
Okay.
Kenley Jansen.
Yes.
Had his 400th save. That was, of course, through his time with the Dodgers, the Braves, and the Red Sox.
And he did it against the Braves.
He did do it against the Braves, which like could seem as special, but I think it'd be more special against the Dodgers.
I
He was
agree.
only with the Braves for like what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Three,
Talk about
two,
Braves
I think two.
pitching. Sorry. Max Fried is currently on the 15-day IL, but
Mike
will be
Soroka still has
missing.
not made his comeback yet.
Huh?
Mike Soroka still in minor
Still not
leagues is
making
not.
his comeback. But he's done 2 to 4 games in AAA, so I'd
Oh
imagine.
yeah, no, he's pitching. He just has yet
Yeah.
to.
But Fried is down for probably about at the least 2 months, which is upsetting because he was really,
He
really
was
putting together,
killing it.
yeah, what could have been a Cy Young season. And I mean, this is his last year of arbitration. I still think that if the Braves don't re-sign him, most of what they've done the last 2 years is kind of been silly.
Yeah.
But I saw a tweet and they're getting him back and someone else back in like 2 months. And they'll be like, it'll be the best trade that the Braves have ever made. It's like acquiring two guys at the deadline.
So yeah, that 400th save puts him as the seventh pitcher ever to achieve that mark. Really just great for him. I mean, he's
really
like, if I'm
good.
Right, I mean, he's old, but he's not like super old.
Well, because he's not, he doesn't pitch in a way that you could tell that he is old.
Yeah. 35
Like,
years
I don't
old.
know how
So
to
he's a
explain
little,
it.
he's a little above, but
I don't know how to
still has
explain
years
it because,
left.
like, Corey Kluber, when he pitches, you're like, old
That's
man.
an old man right there.
Also, I love my one friend calls him Corey Clubber. And I'm like, I'll tell you who it is later. I just, that's not right. And I'm like, it's Kluber. And he's like, I like Clubber. And I'm like,
well,
okay.
it's not.
All right.
So yeah, it was really good for him. I mean, that's an amazing feat. And
400
35,
is,
seven,
400 is not a real number.
400 at 35 years old is
yeah, because he
extremely
probably
impressive.
Still has
At least another, I mean,
3 years maybe? Four?
Yeah, I'd assume so. Yeah. So
can he
this
hit
is
five?
through.
Can he hit 500? I don't know the pace.
I mean, it'll be tough because he's
I don't know what the
through.
pace is.
Yeah, I'd say I'm trying to look. He's through 14 years.
Okay.
So through 14 years, he started when he was 21. That's actually dang good. And he didn't start picking up saves until 2012.
So
like he had like
many,
four saves, five
how
saves,
many
and then
is that?
His rate has been like 30s. He's had a few years of 40. 41 he's had twice.
Okay, so
but
let's think 35.
Yeah.
So like
35
500
for
divided
another
by
3 years.
35. He would, okay, that says 14. That doesn't make sense.
What
No, no, no,
does?
no, no. I did the math wrong. 100 divided by 35. That's the correct math. That's 3 years of 35 saves. So if you think that he might decline, give him 4 years to do it.
Yeah, but it's possible. It's possible.
Definitely something to keep an eye on.
I want to look.
For anybody curious, as I know that this game will be over by the time that this episode goes out, but it's currently at the top of the fifth, and it's nothing, nothing.
Hey, that's good. So Kenley Jansen, as I said, is seventh with 400. There is only two pitchers with more than 500 saves. Trevor Hoffman and Mariano Rivera.
I was going to say,
652 for Mar, for Mo, 601 for Trevor Hoffman. I mean, that is all-time legend status. Yeah. I mean, those are all-time like legend status. Those
oh,
are
yeah.
Down in forever. How many years did Mariano play? I always forget.
23? I don't even know if that's possible. That's just a guess.
Yankees from 95 to 13.
I got it.
If you do the math there.
Oh, that's the clock. That's also the clock again. 95?
95, yep,
1995. 28! I was short! I thought saying 23 was generous. Are you still on Mo's page? Can you just tell me how many saves he had in his like last year?
I mean, I was on his Wikipedia. That's the only reason I knew it.
Oh, shit.
But I could find it.
I'm just curious to see what he, I mean, obviously not something that we need to brag about.
No, but just like, just something, just something
different
to
animal. Than...
But I think at the same time, as you're able to see, you know, if there is that decline, saves his last 3 years, 2011 he had 44, 2012 he only played 9 games, but he had 5 saves, and then 2013 he had 44.
Yeah.
I mean, his average was 40 a year.
I'm not even, like, I know that he, like, definitely retired because, like, his body told, he could have kept going. Like, because how many, before that, what was he, like, in his, like, in, like, the early 2000s? And, like.
Early 2000s, he was throwing up 45 saves, 50 saves, 53 like, saves.
There was no decline.
No. No.
Different fucking animal.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's, I think. At 35 years old, but Mariano retired. Last game, he was at 43. That's like, I mean, I would say at least 5 more years of Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, I think so.
And 5 more years of you know,
of like of good Kenley Jansen.
I mean, that's another 175. Like that is 25. That is a mid year away from tying Hoffman.
Yeah.
So, gotta keep an eye on.
He'll be a guy to keep an eye on
for the next plenty of years.
Yeah.
And really, it's just he's only like a 2-pitch stuff. It's like a cutter and a splitter or something like that. Cutter slider.
That's what Mariano was.
And I mean that's so injury has not really been a problem much in his career. Knock on wood. Even though he's a Sock, you know, still. So I gotta respect players like that.
I am cheering for him out of baseball history, not because of the uniform he has on.
Yes. To continue with the Red Sox, though, I want to point out Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah.
In the entire month of May, at this point, so this was 2 days ago, I should say. 2 days ago, so the first 9 days of May, he had 0 swings and misses.
And then he did play against Max Fried.
Yeah.
And had swings and misses.
Yeah.
Reason I know that, do you want to know how I learned that fucking information? The Bloomberg Twitter account. Because the Red Sox tweeted about like, oh, no swings and misses. Woo-hoo. Because obviously we'll talk about that. That's fantastic. Bloomberg quote tweets and he goes, so he swung and missed 6 times against Max Fried curveball today. And I was like, you are brutal.
But, I mean, he had a point, of course, when I was playing against him in fantasy. literally, of course. I mean, this guy played, you know, some of the best, you know, had a streak 1 week of the best baseball I think anybody's ever played. It was absolutely insane. I'm going to try to find the exact, you know, numbers for it. So, in the game log, let's look. Just so far in May, he has had 100. Oh, sorry, that's not even right.
100.
No, because it was 138 at bats or plate appearances. This is across the entire year. Never mind his 138 plate appearances. He's batting 298. But until the game against Atlanta, it was 2 hits, 2 hits, 2 hits, 3 hits, 1 hit, 2 hits. It was not just non swing and misses, but it was multi hit games. Before that Braves game on the 9th, the last game he played without a hit was April 18th.
That's like that. How do you even do that?
Especially in this baseball, you do not see that ever.
No.
So I'm actually going to try to see that. So between
the Rays the days... just scored. Thought I'd let you know. Sorry.
Sorry.
The Rays scored. Yandy Diaz, RBI double, past DJ.
Of course, Yandy Diaz.
He's
the most streaky hitter this year.
Yeah.
So here, so within those games, it's popped up every other time, but this time. Yeah, there's a little thing of like you can select 2 dates, and then it'll tell you how they played, and it just isn't doing that now.
Could you just imagine if the Red Sox didn't cry poor and they had Yoshida, or it would go like Verdugo, Bogarts, Yoshida, Devers,
Yeah. So here we go. This is from the
DK.
From the 20th to the 7th. So that was a spam where he went and got a hit every game, whatever that 16-game hit streak. So it was, as I said, 16-game hit streak. He actually had 28 hits, 5 doubles, 5 home runs, 6 strikeouts, batted 438, slugged 750. I mean, that's an unreal span of
yeah, that's not real. There's just no way that that...
For 16 games is unreal to do that. Brandon, also, you know, you have, like, Luis Arraez doing that. But Luis Arraez does that the whole season, but that's also saying... That's also because Luis Arraez is no more human than...
Yeah, I was going to say. You're like, obviously, this fellow regular man.
Not
absolute animal.
To continue on hitting, we have two players who had a 3-home-run night. The one was Paul Goldschmidt, 3-home-run night, plus an extra hit.
Paulie G.
And then Jordan Diaz against the Yankees. That's the saddest thing ever. Imagine getting 3 home runs and losing.
He also had hit either 0 or 1 all year long. And then hit 3 against the Yankees.
And then you lose. And that's still, the worst part.
Still lost.
That's the worst part. Imagine you have to go into the clubhouse after that and say, and like, a coach can't even look at you.
They're like, I did literally.
Guys, we should have won this game. Looks over at him and he's like, what the fuck do you want me to do?
I did literally everything I could have possibly done. Everything I could have done.
Get on base. There was a runner on base for his 3rd one. That was it. And then it's also funny now I'm realizing that the 3rd worst team in the Cardinals had Paul Goldschmidt hit 3 home runs. So same another thing. Team that it really did help.
I do think, just to go back to that A's series really quick, I don't know if you saw the quotes about it. Oswaldo hit a home run off of J.P. Sears. J.P. Sears, a piece in the Frankie Montas trade. And when Oswaldo was talking about it, I have spoken to both Oswaldo and J.P., when they were at Somerset, great people. Ooh, and just a little flex, like JP, like kind of does follow me on Instagram, like NVD or whatever. But when talking about it, it was really sweet. Oswaldo was talking about how JP really helped him through the minors of like learning English and like realizing like words that you say where and whatever. And I feel like just very connected to that class of Yankee prospects. Like they're just like all like people that I know. And I'm like, look at these silly gooses just out and about.
But yeah, finally, the last thing, I mean, you know, love Oswaldo, love Waldo. The last thing that I have to say is not connected to anything. There's no way I connect this to anything. But it still is a really, really special moment. After one of the Arizona Diamondbacks games, Christian Walker was getting interviewed and he was wearing an American flag sunglasses, all these beads. And it was because Lourdes Gurriel Jr. was officially a U.S. citizen. And I mean, that's
so cute shit.
And what's so amazing about that is he was in the Dalton Varsho trade. They've played whatever 40, 50 games with that guy.
Yeah.
And they already have that family mentality and like.
But also because I'm not saying that he's the only reason that the Diamondbacks are doing well, but like I feel like he's a big part of that. Because like him going to the Diamondbacks, I was like, oh my god, that poor guy. Like he's very good at baseball. And now he's just gonna be like sent to the demise of the Diamondbacks. But that team, and I think that has a lot to do with their success, is how, like, they just all seem to genuinely really love being around each other.
Yeah.
And it was so cute. But is that your last?
That was my last one. I have nothing else beyond that.
Well, listen here. We've got a series against the Rays here, and hopefully it all works out. And that's really all I've got to say about the week coming forward. I don't even know. Who do we play after the Rays?
We play the Baltimore.
Good
Wait.
morning,
No, we wait. Do we? I
Baltimore.
think we play somebody else between because
Every day's
we
a
are home. I know for a fact we are home in next end of next week. We play Baltimore and San Diego, but this is really throwing me off now. So we're at, yep, play
we
Tampa
will
Bay,
play
play
for
Tampa Bay,
Saturday.
play Tampa Bay. We go to Toronto. That's who it is. We go to Toronto, we go to Cincinnati, and then we come back and we play the O's and
Goes to the
Padres.
Papas.
So
We've got
another division, another we've haven't seen them in too long, and we're seeing the Toronto Blue Jays again.
Was it funny
I
when
feel
you
like that's
phrased
happening.
that?
I don't know why, but
Why'd
I
you
feel like
phrase
that.
it like that?
No, but I feel like that's been happening all year. It's just like, hey, we play you now, and I'll see you in a week where you play us. Like,
Well,
we go
yeah,
to you
that's like we
guys, and then
played
a
the
week
Rays
later, you guys come to us.
and then now we won't play the Rays again until the end of July.
Yeah. Just like
So
it's a
like
weird.
listen, and listen, I'm not gonna sit here and critique the schedule. I'm very glad they were playing every team. It did just seem really weird that we like turned around and played the Rays literally on the back end of the same week.
Yeah, it just feels awkward. It
Not
just
my
feels awkward.
favorite, but
Hey, we just saw these guys. We're seeing them next week again. And like it happened, I feel
yeah.
like it happened like three times, three or four times already
Yeah,
this
you're just
year. I'm
like,
like, did we
I
just fucking play them?
just fucking watched this game. But if you'd like to follow us on Instagram, you can. It's at pinstripe.podcast. And make sure that you follow the show on whatever platform you're listening to. And for Scotty, I'm Lexi, and this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. Bye.